Donald Trump saying there could be some softening.
He could see a softening, to use his word, of his policy.
Possible softening of his controversial position
over the past 2 weeks that he could go in a number of different directions.
Mr. President, I want to thank you. It's been a tremendous honor. And I call you a friend. And they are amazing people, amazing people.
Before his speech on securing the border, a trip across it.
We did discuss the wall. We didn't discuss payment of the wall. That'll be for a later date.
Peña Nieto took to Twitter to disagree, writing, "At the beginning of the conversation with Donald Trump, I made it clear Mexico will not pay for the wall.
We will build a great wall along the southern border, and Mexico will pay for the wall. And you can call it deported if you want. The press doesn't like that term. You can call it whatever the hell you want. They're gone. Within ICE, I am going to create a new special deportation task force focused on identifying and quickly removing the most dangerous criminal illegal immigrants in America who have evaded justice, just like Hillary Clinton has evaded justice, okay? Maybe they'll be able to deport her. Wall, are you ready? Wall, impenetrable, physical, powerful, tall, beautiful southern border wall.
This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick in for John Hockenberry. We thank you so much for listening. Wednesday, yet another day dominated by Donald Trump. In the morning, an impromptu trip to Mexico, America's neighbor that feels insulted and vilified by his rhetoric about its people on the campaign trail. By night, to Phoenix for a policy speech on immigration, the number one issue to his base and the biggest issue driving Republican politics today. What did we learn? Well, the wall, not an electronic one, not one made out of sensors and drones, but a big, tall, beautiful wall, as Trump put it, is still his plan. And Donald Trump is still, despite what his own staffers have sometimes said, taking a very hard line on immigration. For reaction both to Trump's whirlwind Immigration Wednesday and the policies embedded in it, Ricardo Perez Gonzalez, he's a permanent legal resident of the United States and a citizen of Mexico. He lives and works in Minneapolis. Hi, Ricardo.
Hello.
And back on The Takeaway, Elise Foley, immigration and politics reporter with The Huffington Post. Hi, Elise.
Hi.
Ricardo, let me start with you. What did you hear in Donald Trump's speech yesterday? I know you watched it. What did you take away from it?
I felt that he was very energetic, that he was very, he had an agenda and he went through it. And I mean, it was pretty scary.
Did you detect any real difference, Ricardo, from, let's say, the immigration rhetoric back at the Republican convention? There has been talk of softening, of moderating his tone. And I wonder what you took away from the Phoenix speech last night.
He's kind of trying to back up a little bit from Mexican people. He went to Mexico. You know, I feel like they're trying to make the enemy someone else but Mexican people. They're now saying that it's Central America people, the ones that are responsible for most of the illegal immigration. But this time he seemed like he had more of a plan. He had some points that he wanted to like talk about, like 10 points or something like that. So it seems like, yeah, he's trying to tone it down. He's trying to put more structure in his ideas. But everything that he's saying, it's already on the law. It's already on the books. Immigration is already extremely tough. So to me, he's not saying anything new, but he continues to target people to make a point about his stand. So,
Elise Foley, so many people have spent the last 10 days or 2 weeks looking for this softening, this moderation in Trump's tone, because he himself has said that it might be coming. The point here is that the hard line of the Republican primary isn't selling well in a general election. And I wonder what you took away from the speech yesterday.
Well, I think that what happened is that before he was letting people sort of fill in the blanks. So he'd say vaguely that there might be softening. He'd say things that indicated that he was maybe willing to think about some undocumented people as not being vicious criminals. And people filled in the blanks and thought, okay, well, if he's talking about being humane, that must mean that he thinks of humane in a similar way that they do. And I think what happened last night is he actually had to lay out, or didn't have to, decided to lay out some specific policy positions and made it clear that what he thinks of as fair and humane is something that is closer to the mass deportations that we were hearing about in the primary.
Well, let's play Trump in his own words, at least, because this is an important part of the policy that people have been wanting to hear from Donald Trump on ever since in the primary he criticized other candidates for advocating for something less than deportation, which, of course, he called amnesty. Listen.
As with any law enforcement activity, we will set priorities. But unlike this administration, no one will be immune or exempt from enforcement. And ICE and Border Patrol officers will be allowed to do their jobs the way their jobs are supposed to be done.
Elise, this felt to me like a punt on the issue of deportation. We're going to prioritize, like all law enforcement does, but no one's immune. We can get anyone at any time, and you don't really know exactly what the policy is.
I don't think it's necessarily a punt, actually. I think that that is just sort of the way it works.
It is the way it works in the real world, but it hasn't been the expectation of his voting base so far.
No, that's true. I mean, he's presented an unrealistic picture of what he can do. And, you know, he's presented that he would manage to do this because he's such a great manager. He's, you know, able to do all these things other people wouldn't. Now he's sort of backing off from that and, you know, presenting a picture that's more realistic.
Ricardo?
But to me, he did make it sound that, like, law enforcement has been held back from his duties. But when he starts, then he's going to let him go. He's going to let him do their job because right now they are unable to do their job because of some reason. So to me, like, he's continuing to use fear and he's continuing to targeting Latinos, like Mexican people, saying, when I'm in command, the first thing that I'm going to do is I'm going to let him go. They're going to come and get you. They're going to kick you out. And his rhetoric has always been to target, like, the families of the people that are, quote-unquote, supposedly criminals as well. So he's not only targeting those people that could have been or that could be criminals or whatever, but he's also targeting their families. So to me, again, he's using fear to manipulate people. So that's what it sounded to me many times.
Elise Foley, I was struck also by the emphasis that Trump placed on what are called angel moms, angel families. These are the families of people who were killed by criminal illegal immigrants, people who should not have been in this country. And we'd have a great deal of sympathy for these people. But in the end, he brought them up on the stage. And the message seemed to be that immigration is an issue of people's mortal safety. You could be killed if these people aren't kicked out of the country, not an issue of economic policy or migration policy.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he mentioned things like immigrants taking welfare and immigrants taking jobs, but that was his main focus, is this idea that, you know, there is potential at all times that you could be killed by an, you know, undocumented person. And I think it's understandable to find that idea frustrating. And obviously, as you said, you know, we have a lot of sympathy for these families, and I can see why they're frustrated. But at the same time, it is definitely cherry-picking the worst of the worst. I understand why he's doing it, but he's emphasizing criminal element over the vast majority of undocumented people in a way that allows him, or he thinks allows him, to just ignore the undocumented people who are dreamers, who have been here since they were kids, or who've lived here for 25 years and, you know, have no other violations than immigration violations.
Ricardo, your business deals a lot with the Hispanic community there in Minneapolis. You're in the business of bone marrow matching with donors and recipients. What are your clients saying when they talk about the election?
People are afraid. I know a lot of people that are going through the process of becoming citizens so they can vote, which I'm very proud of. But people are fed up. They're tired of, you know, being constantly on the news, because when they're referring to Mexican people, they're not referring to only a specific segment of Mexican people. They're referring to every single Mexican person that lives in the U.S. and also non-Mexican people, because we all fall under that umbrella.
And Elise, it's important to point out on policy grounds that Donald Trump made clear that no one who is here illegally can have any pathway to normalization. You have to leave. There is no path to legal status if you came here illegally.
Right. He said that the only way that you could get legal status is by going back to your native country and then going through another, you know, the legal immigration process. And he actually talked about making the legal immigration process quite possibly harder. So it's hard to see why anybody would have a strong incentive to go through that. I mean, it seems like there would be a very real possibility that someone would go back to their native country and not be able to come back to the U.S. And so I think that what I took away from that is that he would likely advocate some sort of legal immigration policy where you didn't let in maybe somebody who was poor but was related to somebody already living in the U.S., and you would let in only people who might create jobs instead. And that would be really fundamentally changing sort of the way the U.S. has done immigration for years.
And so, Elise, we have talked about, you and I on this show, the political bridge that Donald Trump has to cross here, the hardline immigration stance of a Republican primary, the difference between that and getting 65 million votes in a general election with changing demographics. What do we know now after Donald Trump's speech last night about if or how he's going to do that?
I mean, it seems that he is going to try to win as many white votes as possible and then Latino votes not worry too much about it. I mean, there's been a lot of discussion of Mitt Romney, how poorly he did with Latino voters. That's been attributed many, many times to the fact that he talked about self-deportation and that, you know, it inspired Latino voters to go out and vote against him. I think it's pretty obvious that that is going to happen this year. And I think that it looks like he will do even worse with Latino voters. And I think it's not just Latinos. I mean, there are undocumented people who are Asian, certainly Asian immigrants. The way he talks about, obviously, black people. I mean, I think that right now he's really doubling down on trying to win as many white people as possible and not worrying about whether he's going to turn the rest, inspire the rest to go out and vote for him, even if maybe they wouldn't have voted otherwise.
This election has been different than others in so many ways, but Mitt Romney lost Latino voters by 38 points, and Republicans after that said that has to change or they can't win. Well, it's not really changing. In fact, it may be getting worse from the political perspective. Elise Foley, immigration and politics reporter for Huffington Post. Thanks, Elise.
Thank you.
Also, Ricardo Perez-Gonzalez, permanent legal resident in Minneapolis. Thanks a lot, Ricardo.
Thank you.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.